Hey, it's Chris. Welcome back to the Between Dreams podcast. This show chats with people who are making things happen, not just dreaming about things, but doing them. It's about living between dreams. And today's guest is here. It's Seth Ward. You've been on the podcast several times.
Oh, man. And it's always an honor to be here, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you've been up to some cool stuff, and we've... In our new kind of format of the show, we've promised the listeners to keep these episodes tighter. So right before we started chatting, right before we started recording, we were like, okay, like, how can we keep this tight? And one of the things, so the overall theme that I think of today's chat is how you're doing a lot of things. And, you know, you're, one of your claims, self claims to fame, is the most rejections on reality shows and the most quote failures of these, trying to get on shows like America's Got Talent and and other things. And maybe the point of my conversation today is to challenge that. And I know, obviously, that's part of the thing of the, you know, the failure, but it's like utilizing that and leveraging all of those things into what you're doing next. And we'll talk a little bit about how you're kind of creating this show, like your own show, based on all of these different characters that you've played, and bringing those people that might have seen you on TV, then bringing them into your world on Patreon. You know, I'm usually on the live stream that you do, watching, just watching what you're up to. You're sharing a lot of that stuff. So, where does that... So, recap that in your own... let you do kind of your own intro into your own world. And pick up the pieces that I missed as far as you're creating a bunch of stuff. You're like doing a ton of things, from going on TV shows like America's Got Talent, doing live shows now that some like music festivals and things like that are coming back, and utilizing that then. And I love how it kind of all is very different worlds, but it all kind of like allows you to experiment and bring and see what works. Pick up the pieces of that and just fill in a little bit of like what exactly you're up to right now and how you're thinking about tying all those pieces together.
Totally. I am, self-proclaimed, but also I think this is a fact. I'm not just claiming it. I believe that I am the world record holder for most rejections on talent show TV, reality TV shows. I don't know the genre, but I definitely am the reigning champ.
How many characters did you have? Do you have it actually listed out? How many characters have you done on TV talent shows?
Oh man, there's 11. There's 11 animal characters so far, but the Phoenix was just debuted recently. That was a new epic failure, a failure of epic proportions. We had fire involved in that one, real live fire. And the fire marshals, let me tell you, I do not have a great relationship with fire marshals. They do not like me. I am not very safe. And I feel like I'm safe personally. But anyway, these animal characters are what I've been doing on these TV shows. And it's usually, the bit is that I come out as a guy who's obsessed with being an animal impersonator, but he becomes the animal and gets carried away to the point of not following the rules of whatever show that animal is on, because it's an animal. I mean, a chicken's not going to follow human rules. It's a friggin' chicken. Come on now. And so that works for the show. It doesn't always work for the host that, or the judges. So, did that with the Gong Show, did it with a bunch of different shows around the world. And I'm now trying to use that idea, that concept of this guy who's obsessed with being an animal impersonator and kind of breaking the rules of society, or trying to break down, using like a lot of clown and like maybe even some buffon, into making my own TV show. And what does that look like? And how do I pitch that? Because I'm not I'm no Chris Pratt household name movie star actor man, but I do have these recognizable bits on other people's TV shows. So I'm trying to use that within a sizzle reel and stuff to be like, this is what you're purchasing. Give me money to make my show. And at the same time, I'm trying to kind of workshop and sandbox that idea into. I just did a music festival called Dirty Bird, and I did a show there, a live show. I had an hour and a half to do whatever I wanted. And so I got a bunch of animals. I got my roommate to be an animal handler, and then I built this TV that's like a massive, it's a kind of a puppet TV, but it's a projected, it's a fabric TV that has a projector inside of it to rear project whatever I want. And I got my other roommate to be the mouth, and it became my best friend, my TV. And that best friend TV character is it just wants to play my clips that I've been like on TV, and he's like, remember when you were on me? Remember last week when you were on me and you were the peacock? Let's watch it. Let's watch it. And I'm like, no, nobody wants to watch that TV. And it became this like bit where we got to play some of those videos, and then I got to react. So it's almost like a live Seth Ward reacts to Seth Ward's video, but you get to see, if you haven't seen the clip, you watch it live, and then I come out as the peacock later, and I'm trying to redeem myself. And that's kind of the vibe of the show, the TV show that I want to do. We're kind of doing it live right now. So, and I appreciate you considering me a doer and a maker and a creator, because I'm always being like, I'm not doing enough like to get my career going. I'm not like making enough money to provide for like to be able to make my TV show. I don't have it. So I'm always like, I need to do, but I'm also grappling with this concept of like you can't live your life only going and doing. You need some times of reflection, you need some times of healing, you need some times of resting and relaxing. So I think there's a lot of people out there, especially that are inspired by Between Dreams and what you do and stuff, is getting the fire under their butts and stuff. And I have so much fire under my butt. I'm trying to constantly like, oh, I should let my butt heal. It is burning. It is blistering. It is on fire. It has been for years. So it's a kind of a reverse Between Dreams what I'm working on right now, where I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what does life look like where I'm not working 20 hours a day. But yeah, I think it's equally as important. So I think I recapped a lot and tried to tell explain what I'm doing now, and also what I'm grappling with in a metaphysical way.
Yeah, and I think that's so good to hear that from. I mean, that's typically my favorite things to hear, especially like in this podcast where I talk to people who are doing stuff. My favorite thing is always, hearing it from people like Justin Willman and people that we're all just like, whoa, they did it. And then you hear them say the same thing. They're like, I don't know. I don't think after this one, I think it's going to just all go away. And you're like, people that have shows on Netflix and, multiple seasons of shows on Netflix and,
It's amazing.
That fire that you speak of is always there. And then people know, kind of no matter where, I think that's very, that might sound depressing in a way to some people because they're like, oh, I'm never going to make it. And I think to certain of us, that feeling of never being able to make it is refreshing because it allows us to keep reinventing. And even if you do make it, you have to now do something new and
Yes, I
reinvent it.
love the concept of like a perpetual reinventing of oneself, because that's all life is. Like, think about it on a molecular, on a molecular level. You've got your cells are killing, they're dying, they're regrowing. Your body is dying and regrowing always. You're always recreating who you are, basically, in the physical form. And mentally, think about where you were a year ago, where you were 2 years ago. You're always forming and reforming, and that's good, I think. I think it's beautiful to always be recreating. Look at like the friggin' caterpillar. That dude was a fat, ugly little worm, okay? He freaking boils him down to himself to a liquid. He's a like a flopping around inside of a cocoon, just liquefied as gross goo, and becomes like he, and he just does that. You know, that's life. That's literally everything does that. So I'm essentially talking to myself right now.
So dig into that a little bit. So in how, when you're creating characters and especially in the live performance, because you know, if you're doing something on TV, you kind of like, you get to do it once as the, it's like a comedy special. Like once right. somebody records a stand-up comedy special, it's kind of like, yeah, those jokes are, can still be told, but they're a little bit burned because they've been
yeah.
on TV.
You did them.
But if yeah. you're a touring comic, you can do the same set, you know, like when I was doing my juggling set, there wasn't really like repeat audiences that much every
oh,
once in a while.
Totally.
But you could kind yeah. of get away with doing the same show. I mean, especially in the, like a few years ago.
Right.
You could do the whole show, the same show for your entire career. So in that like reinvention and always reinventing, you have a character. And I think this will be relevant to a lot of people who are thinking about that of like, oh, you create something really good. And then people get stuck on that, and then they don't want to like try to reinvent because they're like, well, I don't want to walk away from this thing that I reinvented. And I think there's something that'll resonate in there with you of, you know, say like a character that you might play on stage. There's bits that you're like, oh, that worked. I'm going to keep doing that, but not exactly the same. So I think there's some idea here that I think will be cool to kind of like tie this whole chat together. That's like the building a character, but then allowing the improv of it to keep it fresh and reinvent forever.
Totally, totally. I used to think that way, like in a negative way of redoing or like repurposing something. I was like, oh, this character that I'm doing is too similar to this other animal. They both are looking for, I don't know, validation of their physical attributes. Like I'm like, the caterpillar is always like looking for like somebody to say he's beautiful because he thinks he's just fat and ugly. And then I like get a walrus and I'm like, he's just like fat and ugly. And he wishes that somebody was like, you're good at circus tricks. And I'm like, it's different. He's like wants to be recognized for how good he is at tricks. And I'm like, it's very similar. And then the peacock is like trying to make sure everybody believes that he's beautiful, that like, but he doesn't want them to say he's beautiful. He wants them to want to mate with him. And that's why he has this huge tail. And, but they're all basically looking for self-validation. And then I started realizing like, oh, that's like what I love doing. That's how I love performing. That's my clown. That's my performance like idea. And a lot of clowns, I think, will do a specific bit and then they feel like that's the only thing that can make them money and they have to do it the same way because that's the way the people book them to do it. And then they do feel pigeonholed and they feel like they get tired of doing that bit. And for me, it's like, I don't know, I feel like maybe I pigeonholed myself with no pun intended. I don't have any pigeon characters, but I do like... I do the same kind of bit just with different skins. And I kind of like that because it is fresh and it's new for people, but it's also different and it feels like I can grow and I can deviate from any number of these bits from that. That's just kind of the starting point and the point of view that they take in the beginning. So I don't know. I think it's healthy to feel closed in and want to move on, but I think that's a normal feeling, and I think that it is healthy to be able to you take it and use it and move from it. Like, where do they go from there? I guess I'm specifically talking about like character work now, but I think it works with anything. Kind of just extrapolate the things that you like doing. What is the thing that you were drawn to in the first place with these characters? And for me, it was kind of a grotesque character that's wanting to fit into society, and that's universal. Everyone feels that at one point in time. Everyone feels grotesque and wants to fit into their family, fit into the society they live in, fit into the community they're wanting to squish into, but the community's not really vibing, you know.
So, and to tie that in also is like to be a little bit of like a maybe advice type things for people who are creating things. One of the things that I always it's like hard for me because I like the initial stages of like ideas. I like really like ideas and talking about ideas and coming up with ideas for things, but I don't like the fourth step after that of like I like
More
the ideas and even
finalization.
like making it, but then it's like as soon as it gets like that freshness of like making the
Oh,
thing and
man.
like if there's like a series of videos or something by like six in, I'm like, okay, this is like now it's just like now I have to just do the work and
Now it's
show up.
work. Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh,
and it's
you're
like a
speaking my
podcast,
language.
for example, is cool because it's that, because it's always fresh, especially like if a podcast with different guests. But it
Right.
still can start to get like this tedious feeling. And I think it's something
Totally.
cool that is helpful, I think, to a lot of people to think of it as, yeah, you don't need to reinvent the wheel, but you can use the wheel to drive to different places. Like, and
Totally. I love
that's
that.
actually a pretty cool little bit because it's like, yeah, you don't need a new car every time you drive somewhere,
Right.
but you can drive anywhere you want. It's still the same thing. Like you use
Yeah.
this package to, and that's kind of what I was thinking about
That's
when you were doing that of.
absolutely beautiful. Did that that's like yeah, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. The wheel literally rolls. Get on it and use it as a mode of
Yeah.
transportation. Use the wheel.
Yeah, I love that 'cause that it simultaneously takes a lot of that pressure of reinvention off where okay, this is what I do.
Totally.
I can do it a little bit different. It's like when I think about juggling props is like those were, the car was it's just like entertainment. We're going to make people smile.
Right. It's
But
the way to get me
maybe I
in front of
reach
people, yeah.
over here and do boxes, but maybe I reach over here and do juggling clubs or something. Like that
Right.
doesn't matter. It's as you said, kind of like I put a new skin over this
Yeah,
end goal.
totally. Yeah, I love that.
So yeah, I think that's cool. So people listening, I think the challenge is how do you if people are feeling stuck and I want to hear your thoughts on this as someone who's doing a lot of things, I think a cool challenge to creative people would be when in that moment where you're like, because I feel it all the time, and I know other people do. Like, I want to do something. I just don't know what to. Everyone says I need to be on TikTok, but I don't know what to
Right,
post. And it's
right,
like,
right.
okay, we'll try some, and then you don't need to reinvent. You don't need to like learn how to play the piano if
Totally.
you play the guitar because you like played the songs or whatever it is.
Right,
You
right.
can keep playing guitar, but play every cover song that there is out there.
Right,
You're just like,
exactly.
and they're probably all
Exactly.
very much the same.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think that's cool. Do you have any other thoughts on that of reinvention, but by re-wallpapering
Oh
instead of
man,
rebuilding?
totally. I mean, TikTok is a perfect example because that platform became popular based on that principle. It was like, here's a video. Do you like it? Take the sound and just like remake the
Yeah.
video. Do it in your own twist. Like, that's like literally the platform. It's telling you, you don't have to start. You can upload a video. We're allowing you to upload a completely original video and make your sound an original sound, but you don't have to. And frankly, most people that are on here are using pieces from everybody else and like just exploring what that looks like. It's like that's what makes that platform original, is literally what we were just talking about, is like take an idea and make it your own, but take pieces of it or take the whole thing and just react to it. Like, literally, that's a type of video on there that is fully recognized as a thing that people do. I don't do like reaction videos so much, or like unboxing videos, or like even like lip sync videos. I don't ever really do that on my Instagram or whatever. But on TikTok, it's like that I could, and it would be completely like, yep, that was that kind of video. That was that. Like, I don't know. I think that's also something I'm trying to do with my own show, is that like I was on all of these talent shows and I was doing my bit, but I was doing it for their show. They were making the money. They had the audience. They had the infrastructure. And so now I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, what was my character within that, but under my own framework? How do I, like, take that kind of without reinventing? Like, I'm not making a show from scratch. Like, what does my show look like? Because that's incredibly overwhelming. And I know, because that's what I was doing before. I was like, all right, if I'm going to make a TV show, what would it be? And I have a million options of what it could be. Instead, I was like, okay, well, what am I doing right now that I love? And how do I use that to kind of make its own thing? What do I make my own show? So I'm very excited about it too. I'm like, it's probably the biggest project that I think about, and I'm like, oh, this has got, I'm still very passionate about it after like a year of like kind of like figuring it out. Whereas if I've got an idea for a sketch or a short film, it's usually like, oh, I'm excited about it. And then, like you said, by the time I got it in the edit room, I'm like, oh, please let this be done. I'm done with this idea.
Yeah.
And the show I've been like developing, I shot a couple of pitch videos. I've shot a couple of like sizzles. I cut together some reels, and I'm still like, I love the concept. I think like it's a lot of fun. I want people to see it. So yeah, I'm just trying to like get meetings right now, get somebody to fund it. But also, speaking of funding, I'm using Patreon as a way to do it like on my own. So if I don't have the right connections, get some Mr. Moneybags to step in and pay for my show to work, I'm going to essentially try to like crowdsource it in that way through Patreon, which is an awesome way. I've enjoyed it. I've been pretty active the last year and a half about, but before that I wasn't really using it so much, and I felt like pretty good about the way it kind of operates. It's a intimate kind of giving community of some sort, and I'm really enjoying it. Like Patreon, yeah?
I like the idea of Patreon. I've always balanced. So we used to have like the bonus round from podcast episodes.
Right.
And then I just felt like there was always such good stuff in there. And like, you know,
you didn't want to almost keep it from the
seeing
world.
Yeah. I was like, really good. Maybe I would feel different if like more people were doing it. I'm like, oh, there's like, you know, hundreds of people here on this back end.
Yeah.
They're paying for this premium content.
Right, exactly.
But I was just like, oh, this premium content is some of the best stuff. So, and I've never been able to figure out what would be valuable to like give to people. And that doesn't feel like I'm holding things back then from, because
totally.
I don't want it to hold me back. I don't want to be like, oh, it's behind a paywall and then I'm not progressing because I'm not posting more stuff. But maybe it could be like a, maybe people like Patreoners could watch this live.
Right. Exactly.
And then they get to ask questions or something. So I'm not taking anything away from
and
or holding anything back.
And you're not doing any extra work. All you did was like post a link to this and maybe did a little pre-planning and being like, hey, we're going live here to record this.
Yeah.
You're allowed to watch it.
And then they can chat in questions if they want, and then they can get their answers questioned. Yeah, so maybe that's the way to do it. Because then, yeah, I feel good about that, because then I'm not like saying like, oh, you can't see this unless, you know, everyone gets to watch it, but some people get to watch it live.
And it's kind of the idea of an early release. You're not doing any extra work, but it is something that is a value to some that is monetary value. But it's also just like, a meeting point, right? That's what I felt like Patreon for me was like, here's a platform that I'm putting everything together. This is where you go for all things first stop. This is the first stop kind of a thing. And then finding ways to give to that group of people without having to drain the project that I'm really focused on. So I'm like really focused on developing this TV show. But I'm trying to give like behind the scenes of all of it only to Patreon, so that it gets me to kind of foster that idea of like, but, and honestly, what it's really helped me recently is that sometimes I'll get stuck and I'll be like, this is a perfect example. I love sharing this story because to me it was a breakthrough. I will overthink a costume 1,000 times because I'm not a costume maker. I'm not a professional costume designer. So I'll have a piece of fabric and I'm like, I need to make this round and look like a bulbous like shoulder to a, I don't know, a giraffe or something, right? And I'll sit there and I'll stare at this piece of flat fabric and be like, I don't know how to do this. And I'll be like, I could do it this way, but I don't know I could do it this way. And I'll sit there for hours. And I started putting up my phone on a tripod and hitting a time lapse in order to be like, all right, you're on camera. If you stand there and stare at this thing, you're going to look more like a paranormal activity than you are like progress. Like you're not going to look like you're doing anything, and you don't want to look stupid on camera. So get to it, just make decisions. And a lot of times that's all I needed to be able like, I'm going to try it this way. If it doesn't work, who cares? I got enough fabric to recut it, and by the time I do it 2 or 3 times, I will have finished it faster than me standing there thinking about how to do it. And then on top of that, instead of just having a video of a time lapse that I'm never going to do anything with, I started uploading those to Patreon or to my, I use close friends on Instagram because it's a better way to just throw out media than making a bunch of posts on Patreon. And they have a lens app, but it's kind of garbage right now. They haven't updated. Anyway, so I have a reason to put that somewhere. Therefore, it makes me want to make more time lapses. So now it's like feeding into itself where I'm getting more stuff efficiently done while also serving as a dovetail, like making two things, like two birds, one stone situation. And I'm like, when I figured that out, I was like, oh man, you're freaking genius. And I started doing a lot. I started making things a lot better and feeling better about it because I wasn't like, oh, I spent 2 weeks on this one cut and it doesn't even look right. It's, I stopped overthinking things. And now I have a bunch of behind the scenes of me making costumes I never had before. And it like, it actually helped. And then I can go back and review and be like, how did I do that? What was the choice that I made there? It's like, I don't know. I love it. It felt like a big breakthrough for me.
But when I had that Patreon up, I was like, I felt the pressure of pressure in the best way. Like, oh, there's some people who want to see that. There was only a couple ever. But I was like, oh, like they paid to see like a couple episodes of bonus content. So, you know, if it was a live stream or something for watching the recording, like they're expecting to see it, the live stream that week, or
And
whatever
another
the
thing I
commitment
did,
is.
yeah, and as soon as it starts becoming this like, oh, I didn't post anything on there, and you start feeling bad because people like paid to see it. That's not good. I don't think that's a healthy way to run it. But like something that I also did in tandem with Patreon is I've got a couple of creators on there that I am subscribed to or at least follow so I get the updates. And it's awesome because they're very regular and they're using that platform. And I'm seeing ways that they use the platform that's like really fun. And I'm like, oh, I could do something like that. Or I should make a post today. They just posted it and I could do, I actually do have some behind the scenes, or I could do a live stream the way they're doing. It's like, it's amazing because it's still on that same platform, but it's also like they're notifying me when they make something. But also is kind of notifying me of being like, you could also just throw this thing up and it would be pretty cool. And I'd be like, that's pretty cool. Thank you for that reminder. And then I'll go like post a thing.
Yeah, that's sweet. I like that even for Between Dreams sessions. We're doing the music, acoustic singer-songwriter bits. This could be the same thing. That could literally be the same thing. Like, hey, we put a GoPro in the corner and you guys get to watch our live recordings. And, you
I
know, it's like
love that.
super scrappy and we do like three takes of the song. Sometimes you get like direct access to hear the raw, like you're in the studio with us while we're recording.
I love that. I love that idea.
And that's something that like we wouldn't ever publicly post, really. And again, not taking anything from the audience.
Totally.
And
But
if they
you
do want to
also,
see it, that's worth $5 a month or whatever.
and on top of that, you might actually use, let's like say you download that live stream footage that you, because you were recording it. If you were live streaming, you have it recorded. or you rip it from the internet, and then you speed it up like 1,000%, and then you got this awesome time lapse of you producing this music, you know, session.
Yeah.
And then that is something you might use, like literally. Yeah. You might use that really awesome, like long time lapse of you guys, like, and then like, you know, running around.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool.
Sweet. I love it. Well, hopefully, I hope that those ideas, that like taking your ideas, then that sparked something for me, is what this is all about. So hopefully some
that's
people
what's
listening
up. Yes.
Got some ideas as well. And we promise to keep it tight. So we'll just tie it up. Making stuff, going out, and you know, and I think that's, to recap that, like, there's things that, like, whether it's a bit of you like being a failure, or like kind of other people are like, you know, when you see the comments of your appearances and stuff,
right,
people are like, I don't get, you know, there's like, there is this level of people are like, I don't understand. Does he know that this is like, that this looks like, you know, so whatever the level of like the quote failure or rejection, and then leveraging that to use it at the level of almost even like documenting, making a costume and like failing because it doesn't work right. And then using that to, as content A and B, to get better on the next one, is like relevant in so many things, no matter what people are doing. So I think that really ties it all together. So why don't we give you the floor to lead us out with anything else that you want to tie that together with, and then followed by where to find all of the things, to find your Patreon and the live streams and the other content that you're posting online.
Yes, I love it. I think you nailed it with failure being success. I think there's 1,000 quotes out there that talk about, you know, every great failure is just a learning experience, you know, like all of that kind of stuff. There's no such thing as failure. It's just a step in the right direction. You know, like I think that applies to everyone and everything, but my career is built around me falling on stage. Did I do it on purpose or did I do it on accident? It truly doesn't matter. If you laughed, then I did it. My job. I'm a comedian. And so that works with me making a costume. That works with me, you know, making a comedy bit. That works with me making a new friend. Did I make a bad first impression? Did I not get this gig because they didn't like what I did? Like it applies to literally everything. And as long as you use it to your advantage, you use it as a learning experience, then it is completely, and it's a perspective thing, right? Like you can hurt from failure. I can hurt from those ugly comments online, or I can look at it and be like, that's awesome that I got people talking, or that's awesome that like, they didn't understand the bit. I made it confusing in order to then take them on a journey the next time, like I come on AGT, I'm like building this thing where I'm on it multiple times. So it's like, it's all part of it, and it's life. And I think it's a perspective thing. I think that I'm continuing to learn on Patreon. If you want to go check out that, patreon.com/SethWord. I'm also trying to be consistent doing a live stream every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I call it the day stream, where we just hang out and talk and answer questions and stuff. And hopefully you'll see some more stuff. There's behind the scenes right now on my TV show, The Seth Word Show, on Patreon, but I'll be posting more about that soon. So if you want a sneak peek, go to Patreon. That's where you can find me. YouTube.com/SethWord. That's where a lot of my stuff is.
Sweet. I love it. And we'll do, I think it was before we started recording as well, how I was saying, keeping these things short, I want to do one thing that I'm working on is keeping the, you know, kind of like the cast of the regulars on this show that have been, you know,
I need to come back
more than just once every year or two, but keep people coming back. Yeah. So we'll piece together as things keep coming together. We'll do every couple month check-in, and maybe we'll be announcing our Patreon soon that you can watch, that you guys that are listening and watching this can watch and listen live and ask us questions. I think that would be really awesome.
I love that.
So if people that are listening right now have questions or ideas, I'm certainly always open to hear them. And Seth, I know you are as well, to hear what people Amen. Are thinking about or whatever. So feel free to reach out to either of us, however you can find us on the internet. And that's going to do it. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Thanks, everyone, for listening and watching. We'll see you on the next one.
Night.